How many people here, and raise your hand if it's your first time at The Rock? Okay, for all the first time visitors, all the first time visitors, give yourself a hand. For all the first time visitors, we have a little present for you. When you leave, we're going to give you a rock. It's a black, smooth Mexican rock, and we want you to set it someplace. You could write on it, The Rock, you could write a verse on it. We don't want you to throw it at a car going down Montezuma. Do not give it to your children, because they will. A couple of years ago, my son was out in front of my house throwing rocks. You know how little boys have to throw rocks. That's our mission in life. And it's best to throw rocks at moving objects. So he threw a rock at my neighbor's car as he was driving down the street, hit it right in the window. Please don't give it to your children. But what I want you to do is take this rock, and I want you to put it someplace, and I want you to pray every day for the rock. You just say, I want to pray for the rock. God will know what you mean and what he's going to do with that prayer. Pray for the rock and ask God what he would have you do with that rock. Okay? Amen? Amen. Turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Yes, the word. Let me see. If you have a Bible, let me see your Bible. How many people here from Sunday night go to Sunday night? Okay. Okay. But we'll be here tonight again, 5 o'clock. Bring your friends. Psalm 40, verse 1. I got news yesterday that Channel 10 was going to be here. And I said, what happened to Channel 8? So they came. They came, baby. Amen. Let's read this, chapter 40, verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my steps. I bought a house in Escondido a few years ago, and when we... The house had a lot, on the property had a lot of rocks on it, and one of the rocks was about as big, as wide as this podium, almost as high as this podium, probably weighed 2,000 pounds. And I wanted to move this rock from the distance from the front of the stage to the back of the stage. It took four of us 30 minutes to move this rock. And we finally got it where it was supposed to sit. I sat on it, and when I sat on the rock, I almost felt something coming out of it, like God was speaking to me, because it was so solid. It was almost immovable. The definition of a rock to me is an immovable and secure object or principle known for its total dependability. All throughout the Bible, if you read the Bible, the word the rock is used. In Exodus chapter 17, the Jews were walking through the wilderness, and God told Abraham, I will stand before you by the rock at Oreb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. It's from the rock in Oreb that God brought water for the people, the thirsty people to drink. And it's out of the rock of Christ that God is going to quench all your spiritual thirst. Whenever you feel like there's emptiness in your life, whenever you feel like there's emptiness in your heart, you go to the rock of Christ and he waters your soul. He waters your life, and that is going to come from the rock. The Bible also says in Exodus 33:22 that Moses was supposed to stand behind the cleft of the rock. See, Moses was a man that God spoke to face as a man speaks to his friend. Imagine when you pray at night, has God ever appeared to you? I mean, one day when I first got saved, I was laying in my bed. It was about 11 days after I got saved, and the Lord actually did appear to me. I was so scared. I was laying in my bed and looking at the room, and all of a sudden, you ever see Star Trek when they beam people in? Well, this man materialized in front of me, and I was so scared. I tried to speak. I opened my mouth. Words wouldn't come out. My pores opened. Sweat wouldn't come out. The sweat said, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't coming out. I tried to move my arms, tried to move my legs. Nothing would move. I was so petrified, and he didn't say anything to me. I know to this day it was God. He didn't say anything to me. He didn't point to me. He didn't motion. He just appeared and went away. But when you pray to God, you don't see him. And the Bible says that no one's ever seen the face of God, but Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. And the Bible says in Exodus 33:22, he says, when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by so you can see my back. God put him in the rock. And it's from the rock that Moses saw God. It's from a rock that you are going to see God and you are going to experience God. Samson's mother and father prayed for a deliverer for Israel, and they told him, put your sacrifice on a rock. And fire came from in the rock and consumed that sacrifice. The Bible says in Romans 12:1-2 that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, that you have to lay your life down on the rock as a sacrifice, that you have to say, Lord, take my life and let your Holy Spirit fire consume me. Our passion here, your passion here, is that God consume my life. Let me tell you something. We can go to church, and we've been going to church Sunday nights for many, many, many years. And you've been going to church many, many years, many of you. But you know what? The days of going to church are over. The days of going to church just to listen is over. The days of going to church to get equipped. The days of going to church to get fired up. And the days of going to church to get consumed by the Holy Spirit fire so he can do something in us begin today. And it's from the rock that fire is going to come. Matter of fact, in that story in Manoah with Samson's parents, not only did the fire come out of the rock, the angel that was speaking to him went up to heaven in the fire. Those are some bad brothers right there. I mean, they like Terminator. They can go in fire. It don't matter. Go speed of light anywhere they want to go. The Bible says that Jesus was buried in a rock. When I went to Israel last year, I went into the tomb or a tomb. They have five tombs that they sell admission to get in. They don't know which one Jesus came from. They go, this is the tomb that Jesus rose from the dead from, we think. They think that's the church where he was born, we think. But we went in the tomb, and you know, it was all rock. They cut it out of a rock. His tomb was made from a solid rock. They just chipped it. The walls, the ceiling, the floor, Jesus rose from the dead from a rock. He came from the rock. Philippians 3:10 says, Paul says, I know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. My friends, you want life? You got to die. You want intelligence? You got to be ignorant. You want strength? You got to be weak. And it says when you go into the tomb with Christ, you rise out a new person. From the rock he came. The Bible says that a rock was put in front of his tomb. And then when he rose, the disciples came. And who was sitting on the rock? Angels. They were sitting on the rock, and they told the disciples where to go. It's from a rock. Because of a rock that we preach. It's because of a rock that we're here. But the Bible tells us that the most immovable and secure rock is Jesus Christ himself. It's no organization. It's Jesus Christ himself. It's from that rock that we are going to live. And for that rock, we're going to live. Look at this verse in chapter 40. It says, let's read it again. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. My friends, there's three things we want to do with this church. We want to save people, we want to equip people, and we want to send people into ministry. I'm going to say it again. Save people, equip people, and send them into ministry. Many of you in here are saved already. Now it's time for you to be equipped, and it's time for you to do something. Many of you in here are saved already. It's time for you to be equipped, and it's time for you to be sent. And in this verse, amen, amen. And in this verse, we're going to look at it. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, he brought me out of a horrible pit and a miry clay. What David's saying here is that not only was I stuck in sand, not only was I stuck someplace where it stank, where animals were howling, but I was going down. I was going down. Not only was I going down physically, I was going down emotionally. I was going down mentally. I was depressed. I was discouraged. And guess what? I couldn't get out. In 1984, I was on my couch down the street from this school. And I was up all night doing cocaine. I was 24 years old, 16 years ago. And I said, Lord, here I am. I'm doing cocaine all night. Yes, I'm in the NFL, but my life is going nowhere. It's going backwards. I'm miserable. I have all the things I could ever want, yet I'm empty inside. Yet there's not something missing inside. And that's what he was. He said, I was going down. And the first thing we have to do is preach salvation to people. The first thing that you're going to do is preach salvation to people. I'm not the only evangelist in this room. They are preachers in this room. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That's what we're going to do. Seek and save the lost. My encouragement to you, start bringing your friends to church. Start praying for people to be saved. Because you know what? There are people right now in your life who are in the miry pit. I was watching A&E the other day. I watched the Discovery Channel, but also I watched A&E, Justice Files, some other intelligent programs other than animals. And by the word, I think I told you about my little bird that broke his leg, was walking around like that. He's back. So we have to figure out another strategy. Maybe I get a cat. I was watching A&E the other day, and every time I watch A&E, the Justice Files, and I see people in prison, the other day I was watching A&E, and they had a special on women who are abused by their husbands. Every 9 seconds in this country, a woman is abused by her husband, one every hour in San Diego. And when they said that a woman is in 9 times more danger in her home than on the street because of her husband. And I'm watching the show, it was about an hour long, and my heart was being broken because those men need the Lord. They can go to counseling all they want, they need to go to counseling, but they need God. And there are people in your life like that. They may not be in church, or maybe they are. There's people on the street, homeless people, every day in San Diego. There are over 15,000 homeless people in San Diego. 15,000 people, 800 kids in Balboa Park. They call it the invisible population. These kids who turn to what they call sexual survival, selling their body for sex. They need the Lord. That's why we're going to go, that's who we're going to go after. Is that the Bible says right here that they heard, God heard their cry and he lifted them out of a miry pit. He preached salvation. The Bible says that everybody is a sinner and that the penalty of that sin is death. Amen. The penalty of that sin is emptiness, and the penalty of that sin is eternal damnation in Christ. The Bible says that there's no name under heaven by which men may be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to preach that gospel. We are going to live that gospel, represent that gospel. That's saved. And then what God's going to do is he's going to cleanse them of their sin. When I asked Christ to be my Savior, in one day I stopped doing cocaine, and people say, well, that's impossible. Did you go to rehab? No, I didn't go to rehab. Nothing wrong with rehab. But you know what God says? I don't have time for rehab for him. I got to get them going now. I was in In-N-Out. My parents are here from Maryland, and they love In-N-Out. So I go to In-N-Out 2 times a day. I don't even have to order anymore. I just walk in, and they go, oh, okay, we got you. They know my order. In-N-Out's good, amen? The very, very first time I came to California in 1982, my friend, he took me to In-N-Out. I didn't know it was In-N-Out. He said, let's go. I'm going to take you to get some hamburger. And all I remember is this messy, nasty hamburger. It was falling out. But I remember walking out and going, oh, pretty good. But we were in In-N-Out yesterday, and we were talking about just all the stuff when I used to do as a little kid. And I said, you know what? God got me drafted to the Los Angeles Rams, got cut, came down here just so I can do this today. Just for today. And all my life, I'm thinking, I'm doing this. I'm going to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. One day, I was selling jewelry at the College Grove Mall, sitting behind a little desk selling little trinkets. I was a lost brother. Lost. And the dude that was helping me, he says, do you have any strategy? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to pray. He was like, he ain't going to sell anything. Praise God I didn't sell anything. But you know what God said? Okay, go ahead. You could do that for a little while. You could do that for a little while. You could do that for a little while. But now here's why you're here. And the guy shared the gospel with me. He told me Jesus loves you, boy. Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus has a plan for your big mouth. He's going to use you. And I was like, And right down here at the bottom of this road, Montezuma, you make a left on Callwood Boulevard, there's an apartment right there. I was laying there, and I said, Lord, I'm ready. He said, good. And I never got high again. And he renewed my mind. He renewed my heart. The Bible says when you give your life to Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. and he took out my ignorant mind and gave me a simple mind. He took out my heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. And this is what people of San Diego need. When you walk out of here, you're going to walk past this campus, 31,000 or 40, I don't even know, a whole bunch of folks, 30-something thousand people just at this school. And the Bible says the majority of people don't know Christ. You know what the first thing we got to do? Is we got to save them. Take them out of the miry pit. Look what the next thing the Bible says in verse 2. It says, he also brought me out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and he set my feet on rock. Set my feet on rock. I was at the Wild Animal Park the other day. It happened to rain. We're in that little tram. Anyone go to Wild Animal Park and get in a little train? And it's like a 90-minute ride. And when I got out of my car, it was hot. So I left my coat in the car. As soon as I got in the train, it started to rain. And I'm like, I love these animals, but let's speed up the train. And we saw rhinos. We saw giraffes. We saw a bunch of stuff I'd never seen before. And lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. That was pretty good. You need courage. But we rode around to this one plot, and there's this one little area where there's all these rocks, and they have these little goats on them, and they jump on the rocks. Amazing the balance they have. And I was thinking, what if they fall? What if a rock move? Well, you know what? The rocks don't move. It's the goat's footing. The goats trust those rocks because they won't move. When Jesus forgives you of your sin and cleanses you of your sin, he puts you on something that's not going to move. He puts you on solid rock, not sand, not boards on water, rock. And after people get saved, the next thing that's going to happen is we need to equip you. What we're going to do here is start small groups. We need people right in here to teach those small groups. We need people in here to be in ministry. Every single one of you have been called to do something. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, turn to Ephesians 4. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 4. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I'm read again. Watch this. It says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. God put those people in the church. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why we're here, to equip you. It's not, well, Pastor Miles, let him go pray for that person. Oh, Pastor Miles, let him go preach. No, 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 no. It's to equip you to do it. Because guess what? Guess what's sitting out there? Pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists. You ever think that maybe God has a plan for my life? Let me enlighten you. He does. You ever wonder what your gifts were? You ever wonder what your calling is? You ever wonder what supernatural abilities you have? We want to help you find that. Once you're saved, we want to help you find that. And one of the ways we're going to help you is we have a training that's going to start in about 4 weeks called Rockhead Training. Everybody say Rockhead. Rockhead. We want all y'all to be rockheads. We're going to get this big plastic head rock to put on your head. No, we're going to put the heart of the rock in your head. And in the Rockhead Training, we're going to train you in the philosophy of the church. We're going to train you in the Bible. We're going to train you in evangelism. Some of y'all are going to help with child care. We need people to help with child care, parking, altar call counselors. But you know what? Some of y'all are going to start ministries. I want to start 100 ministries in the next 3 years. 100 ministries. Those kids in the park, someone's got to have a heart for those kids in the park. I got a call from the parole office the other day to go to a dinner for parole officers, and I couldn't go. But you know what? Here are these people that get out of jail and they're on parole. What more could they benefit from somebody praying for them and encouraging them? Anybody got a heart for that? Anybody got a heart for these abused women? Anybody got a heart for abandoned kids, homeless people, people on the street? Anybody got a heart for people who are rich and lost, CEOs, presidents, college professors, college students? This is where we want to equip you to minister to these people. The Bible says that he has given some to be evangelists, teachers, and prophets. Why? To equip you. So we're going to have Rockhead Training. We're going to have small groups in homes. We need to have 600 small groups in the next 5 years. Small groups, 10 people, that's it. To study the Bible, to be nurtured in the Bible, to have prayer partners, equipping of the saints. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. This is what we're called to do. Once you're saved, then you have to be equipped. And what we want to help you do is find your calling and your passion. When I first got saved, before I got saved, I would never speak anywhere. The charges would ask me to go speak at graduations. I went to speak at a junior high or elementary school in La Jolla. It took these kids 5 hours to sit down in this little courtyard. They had banners as long as the wall. Welcome, Miles, from the Chargers. They made the words real big. It took them probably a month to write these letters and spell it right. The teachers heard them in, and I'm out there. I'm scared to death. I'm like, oh. It took them, like I said, 5 hours. I got up there and spoke for 30 seconds. I was like, it's very nice to be here. God bless you. Thank you very much. Pray. Go for the Chargers. Amen. And I left. And the teachers were like, did we pay him? I would never speak anywhere. But you know, when I got saved, God threw me in front of prison inmates doing my testimony for 5 days. First 5 times I shared my testimony was in prisons. I was so scared. But every time, God blessed. And I said, you know what? I think I like this. Then I went to the church and shared about it. I think I like this. And then I shared a Bible study with the Chargers. The first Bible study I shared on was Job, because dudes were getting ready to get cut. So I wanted to prepare them for the worst. And I said, I think I like this. You know what God said? That's what I want you to do. Run your mouth. Do you know that what God has for you to do, you're going to like? God is never going to call you to do something you are not going to enjoy. God is never going to call you to do something he has not gifted you to do, equipped you to do. The Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works that are prepared for ahead of time. So what we want to do is help you find out what your gifts are, help you find out what your ministry is, and then the last thing, we want to send you to go do it. Look at verse 2 in Psalms again. It says, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You know what? You can plan all you want what you got, what you want to do. You can plan all you want for your life, but as long as you're following the Lord, the God is going to order your steps. Every single one of you, there's a path. My brother used to play for the Syracuse Orange Men. In his senior year, they went 11-0. And in his 11th game, with a minute and a half left, they were down by 7 points. And he was running for the Heisman, and he had to win this game. And they came down in a minute and 30 seconds, and with 10 seconds left, he threw a touchdown pass, and then he had to get a 2-point conversion to win. And with 5 seconds left, they got the 2-point conversion, and he pitched the ball, and he got knocked down. When he got knocked down, they scored a touchdown, and he looked down 80 yards, and he said he could see his steps all the way down the field, that God ordered his steps. You know, when you look behind your life, when you look back, you can see how God has ordered you to go here, to have this experience, to date this person so you know what not to date, to get this job. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Amen. Praise God for breaking up. Pray God for that term. I used to go with you. He sent you to this job, so you know what kind of job you don't want, to this school so you know what major you don't want, to this place so you know you don't want to live there. And he sent you all these places, taught you what you don't do and what he wants you to do. And then when he opens up your eyes and he takes you out of your miry pit, sets you on a foundation, you learn the Bible, you memorize the Bible, you start living the Bible, and your feet is on solid ground, and you know no one can shake it. Nobody can shake it. I was in Oregon, flying to Oregon last week, and I drove by, thank you very much, Mount Hood and Mount, is it St. Helens in Washington? Huge, Mount who? Yeah, okay, Mount All That. These mountains are big. No one can move them except God. No one can move them except God. And what God does, he takes you out of miry pit. He sets you on a foundation, and this foundation is infinitely big. And then he says, start walking. You know what he told Abraham? Walk before me and be blameless. Basically, go ahead and walk and don't mess up. You know what God's going to do for us? He's going to take us out of a miry pit, save our soul, cleanse our sin, renew our mind, put us on a foundation and say, I'm never going to move from you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be here for you 24/7, and I have a plan. Let's get to walking. My brothers and sisters, if you're not walking in God's will, your life is not fulfilled. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, if you don't know what God wants for your life is not fulfilled. In Matthew 25, the Bible says he gave three guys talents. One guy one talent, one guy two, one guy five talents. The guy with the five talents, he went and traded the five talents, and he made 10. And you know what the Bible says? That God said to him, you were faithful in a few, I'm going to give you many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He only entered into the joy of the Lord because he was faithful in what God gave him. The guy who had two talents, he went and traded and made two more. He said, you've been faithful with few, I'll give you many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He only had the joy of the Lord when he was faithful with little. But the guy who had the one talent, who didn't think his one talent was important. Your one talent is important. Your one talent is important. If God has called you to do, you think it's small, it's big. He says, Lord, I didn't think that was a big deal, and he buried it in the ground. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew I was going to come back and hold you accountable. You know that God's going to come back and hold every single one of you and me accountable for what he has given you. He's going to hold you accountable. To whom much is given, much is required. There's about 1,000 people here today for our first service. First service, and we have tonight. Oh, that's good, but you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. What are you going to do with that? How much of an impact are you going to make in this city? Because if you got looky-loos, we don't want looky-loos. We've been having leadership meetings for a month and a half with about 100 people. And we prayed those people in. And there's many of you out there that probably should have been there, could have been there, and your time is going to come. But you know what? A church down the street called me and said, can you come if you want to use our building for a service? I said, well, sir, you only have 150 seats. I don't know. It might not be too big enough for a service. But I can have my leadership meetings there. And he says, you have 100 leaders and you haven't started? We have 60 people in our church and we're like 90 years old. Now, that doesn't mean, and please understand, that doesn't mean we're better. Absolutely not. It means that we have that much more to be accountable for. So what you going to do with that? And just like I'm accountable for you, you are accountable for what God has gifted you. And God has gifted every single one of you with probably more talents than you know. Remember little David who killed Goliath? David was a bad brother. He killed Goliath with a rock so he could sling rocks. Rocks? There you go. Rocks killed giants. He sang songs. He was a leader. He was a spiritual man. He had all kinds of gifts. What are your gifts? Let me tell you something. God is going to hold you accountable for your gifts. He's going to hold you accountable to know what they are. He's going to hold you accountable to perfecting them, developing them, and using them for his good, not your good. There are a lot of people out in the world singing for themselves, making money. Using their intelligence for themselves, making money. No, we do it for God because all that stuff is going to burn. The only thing that's going to last is what's built on the rock, the solid foundation. We did a study. I met with the president of the university about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, to talk to him about renting the gym, Peterson Gym. And make a long story short, it's going well. We haven't gotten a final answer, but basically he said it should be no problem. But before I came, I had my secretary do some studying on San Diego State. How many people here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what she found out. There's over 30,000 students. Some say 45, but there's a bunch. In San Diego, 97% of all the nurses come from this school. 70% of all the teachers come from this school. 50% of all the engineers come from this school. There are 300 CEOs, chief executive officers, bosses that come from this school in San Diego. You know what? We're accountable. In addition to that, there are going to be 3.8 million people in this city in 20 years. There's 2.7 right now. That's who we're going after. That's who we're going to send them. We're going to find out every which way a person can be lost, and we're going to make a ministry to get them. That's what we're going to do. And guess what? All of y'all have the talents to do it. The body cannot work right unless the whole body works. If you've ever seen an athlete miss a game because he's got turf toe, and I know a lot of girls like, what's wrong with him? He's such a punk. He can't play. His little toe was hurt. Turf toe hurts. It could even be your pinky toe. You know what? If that little toe ain't working, you ain't playing. And that little toe says, oh, you don't respect me? You think I'm not important? Put me in that nasty old funky shoe, putting toe jam all in my face. Watch this. You may say you're the toe. You could be the toe jam in the toe. You are important. What's your talent? We want to help you identify your talent, and my friends, we want to help you develop that talent, and we want to help you use that talent. We want to help you use that talent. There was a lady who was in prison. I think she spent 8 years in prison, and when she was in prison, she realized that when the inmates got nice things from their family, they would wrap them up and give them back to their kids for Christmas. So when she got released, she started a ministry to collect presents from people in the community, from churches, to give to the inmates, to give to their kids. It's called Angel Tree Ministry. Last year, over 600,000 gifts were given to inmates so they can give to their kids. One lady had an idea, and 600,000 inmates were able to give presents to their children. One lady had an idea. What's your idea? What is your gift? And let me tell you something. Your idea is God speaking to you through your gift, through your passion. That's your idea. And what we're going to help you do is develop that idea, identify that idea, and start to use that idea. And there's going to be ministries after ministries after ministries after ministries. And it's going to take all y'all working together. It's going to take all y'all working together. Let's read this verse one more time. I'm going to give you your homework. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. And look what it says right after that. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Praise to our God. My friends, in the morning, I'm going to be teaching on Nehemiah starting next Sunday. And in the evenings, I'm going to be teaching through the book of Acts starting next Sunday. I want you to be praying about what God wants you to do. You can go to both if you want. But we're going to be teaching through those books to establish what we're going to be. In Nehemiah, he got a group of people together to form an army to build a wall. And they worked together. They labored together. They fought together. And in Acts, God established the church. He took a group of regular people and turned the world upside down. All the time that God's been challenging me to start a church, I said, God, I don't want to just have a church and be a pastor to do it. He said, let's turn the world upside down. If you're ready, I'm ready. And so the challenge to you is, if you're ready, we're going to be ready. Because it's going to be all of us working together to turn the world upside down. Here's your homework. Turn in your bulletin to your stonework section. I don't have a bulletin in front of me. In the left flap, it should say stonework. And every week you're going to get homework. Everybody see that? Number one, pray for the rock. Pray for the rock. Every day. Pray God's will be done. Number two, bring a friend. Bring a friend. Pray for your non-believing friends and bring them. And number three, pray to go to the leadership training. Say, Lord, do I need to go? What do you want me to do? Pray about going to that leadership training. I think if there's one thing God has been telling me over and over again, he says, Miles, whatever you want to do, let's do it. In the name of the Lord, of course. And many of you out there have had a passion in your heart for many years. You've been wanting to do something for many years. You've been wanting to get involved for many years. Let's do it. There's nothing going to stop you. I had a friend who used to talk trash all the time, and he used to always want to act like he wanted to fight, but he really wasn't fighting. He was just yakking his mouth. And so one day I looked at him, and he went, "What's up, what's up, what's up?" You ever see that commercial with the old man, and they spit the spitballs in the back of those big dudes' heads? That is so funny, the milk commercial. And the big dude's like, "What's up, old man? You want some, old man?" And the old man goes, "Ooh," and he headbutts him. If you have not seen that commercial, it is hilarious. It was like that. We were going, "What's up, what's up?" And this man says to me, "There ain't nothing between me and you but air and opportunity." And then he did this. He blew the air out of the way. He said, "Ain't nothing between me and you but opportunity. Let's go." It is nothing between you and God fulfilling his vision in your life and developing your talents but opportunity and air. And that air is the Holy Spirit, the one that's going to empower you. So my challenge to you is that you start praying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to go to that training, and I'm going to be trained, and I'm going to be equipped, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find out why I am. Why am I here? Certainly I'm not here to just have a job. Certainly I'm not here just to complain and work and get retirement. That's not the purpose of life. Lord, I want to know." So pray for the rock. Pray for your friends, and pray for you to go to that training, that you could be part of the leadership of this church. The leadership is going to be the foundation, the rock upon which this church is going to grow. It can't grow without leadership. Miles is not going to do everything. It'd be impossible. So pray for that. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness today. I thank you for bringing us to this point. But Lord, today is the first day of the history of this church. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. And today is the day we can make a decision to follow you with our whole heart. And Lord, I pray for all these people sitting in this room that you would impress on their heart that it's time for them to step up their relationship with you. It's time for them to step up their commitment to you. And it's time for them to say, "Lord, here I am. Use me. Mold me and shape me." As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today. Because some of you, many of you, hopefully all of you, have been waiting for this opportunity for yourself. That you've been waiting for the opportunity to find out why you are, what you're supposed to do for God. And you also have been waiting for the opportunity to say, "Lord, I want to be more committed. I've been going back and forth, forth and back, but now it's time for me to be committed." And right now, in our first service, if you feel a sense, "Lord, I want to stand on that rock, and I want you to order my steps. I want to be leadership. I want to know my ministry. I want to be trained. I want to step up." If that's you today, just raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Good. Lord, I pray for all those people. And I pray when leadership training starts that we would have adequate number to do the work that you want us to do. Lord, give us a vision of a rock. Give us the vision you have for us, for everything you want us to do. Let everybody in this place know that you have spoken to them about their role. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out, there's going to be the sermons on CD.